Welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin, the host. True Wealth, sponsored by Coins Plus. Coins Plus, 444-0044, or toll-free 877-TAP-COIN. Coins Plus is always buying and selling all forms of rare coins, precious metals, scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds. We offer great wholesale pricing on diamonds to the public, unlike anywhere I've found. And I look, trust me, because I want to be the best. Keep that in mind. There is an advantage to having diamonds. They're worth something. And there's plenty of people out there that we've helped that know that, and we do nice work, and we'll help you. We just, you know, we can add stones to rings that you already have. We can upgrade stones to rings. We can, you can do different stuff for anniversaries. If it's a special, you know, a special occasion event coming there, things like that. But, you know, whatever you have in mind, give us a chance, give us a shot to try to help you out. It's like I said, it's a neat way to celebrate a special occasion, is to upgrade a diamond or even add a new diamond ring to your portfolio. And you can also get a hold of us through our website at coinsplus.com. We do, as I've said numerous times, specialize in helping people preserve their wealth and capital in a biblical, financially conservative manner. That's really where our heart is. That's where my background is. My background is starting with numbers in, you know, the days of math and statistics. I was an actuary when I came out of college, which they do all the statistical analysis and probability for insurance companies, which actually is a little more in depth than it even sounds. And I, you know, was involved in overseeing the general liability and departments and audits and things like that. And then I went into banking and got involved in consumer finance. I got obviously real knowledgeable in credit, began to specialize in mortgages and non-conforming mortgages and things like that. Worked my way up, actually did a stint where I was a senior business manager for a huge auto dealership, overseeing the entire financial department with multiple business managers. Went on from there, went into Bank of America as a regional manager, overseeing a 3-state region in sales, and primarily emphasizing the non-conforming mortgages was my favorite. But we also did a lot of consumer lending and things like that. And at that time, I had to get Series 6 and 7 licensed, which is the ability to sell stocks and bonds. The reason they made me do that is because I was managing people. Our bank branches had financial people in them. They had financial salespeople. So in order to teach them how to sell, I had to know the products. I had to know, and the law required, obviously, a manager. You can't manage somebody who sells stocks and bonds if you yourself aren't licensed, because you might give them bad advice and you can run into a serious conflict of interest. So I was very knowledgeable in that. And pretty much every step along the way, I always had to be insurance licensed in every possible lines you can imagine. So I'm pretty knowledgeable in those arenas. I also grew up in a family where my dad owned an insurance agency, and he did a lot of bail bonding as well. And my mom owned a large court reporting firm, which they're the people that basically collect all the information, transcripts from legal depositions all the way to court and everything else. So I grew up around the legal system, pretty knowledgeable there. But mainly, like I said, the Series 6 and 7 licensing obviously gave me in-depth knowledge of the financial markets, as did banking and finances. Because in banking, you analyze people's finances. We did commercial lending and everything else. So I did everything from analyzing business values to, you know, business cash flow, to just flat business success, to individual financial statements and information. I mean, credit applications, you gather it all. And when you do non-conforming, it's a lot messier, because you're lending to all the people that aren't the easy cut and dry stamp and go type clientele. So you do get in-depth knowledge of a lot of things. I wouldn't trade that experience for the world, because I had a natural curiosity. A lot of people say, how do you know so much about so many things? And it's just curiosity, folks. You've all got it. You know, when I was managing managers and they'd bring me deals and I'd start asking questions, they'd say, how would you know to even ask that question? I said, follow your natural path of curiosity. Folks, your mind will guide you. Now, when you're a believer, guess what else will guide you? The Holy Spirit. And I am honestly baffled. The more I think about it and I guess grow as a believer at the fact that you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And I'm shocked at how many people just absolutely are oblivious to that. They block it out. And one of the biggest problems is that we desire to please ourselves and our own flesh so much that we squelch or quench, as the Bible says, the Holy Spirit. When it says don't quench the Holy Spirit, what it means is choking it out. And how do you choke it out? Well, we know that there's the parable of the sower about choking out the seed. Well, you choke out the Holy Spirit by feeding your flesh and by putting yourself above everything else. I mean, folks, we all know the same Lord, but I'll tell you, there's plenty of us out there. You know, and a lot of people say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, that's true too. But the thing is, you need to grow into a child of Christ. You need to grow into a child of the King. You need to represent Him, as I've said. We are His ambassadors on this earth. I mean, think about that. You represent the God of the universe on earth, one of how many planets in the universe? I don't know, but a lot. You know, we are chosen. This is a special privilege. You've got to take so seriously. You know, in 1 Thess 5:19, it says simply, well, we'll go back a little bit. This is where you get some really cool short verses. 1 Thess 5:16, rejoice always. 5:17, pray without ceasing. So you should constantly be in a state of prayer, in a state of communion with the Lord. That doesn't mean you walk around with your hands out and your head up and bump into people when you're walking around or drive your car off a cliff. It means you're in constant communion with God. 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. How many of us do that? In everything give thanks. In everything, thank you, Lord. Where the Bible says that He constantly disciplines us and trains us and chastises us, and He tries us and tests us, and we're supposed to rejoice in the hardest of times. You lose a loved one, thank you, Lord. I don't think you're thanking for the loss. I think you're thanking for the opportunity to grow, thanking that you know Him, thanking that you can rely on Him. The thing is, some of you were raised Christian. Some of you became believers later. Most of the time, I find those who became a believer later in life to be a lot richer in their faith because they've tasted both sides and they know they need Christ. And they know what it's like not to have Him, to have that hollow emptiness and nothing to turn to, not knowing, not having a clue what meaning was. If you'd have saw me before I was a believer, the crap I tried, I would admire somebody for the wrong reasons, and then I'd look at their life, and it was like, well, you know, he really likes bologna and mayonnaise. Maybe that's his secret to life. Or, you know, well, that guy sure treats his girlfriend bad, and she sure is pretty, so maybe girls want you to treat him really bad. I remember when I was young and guys would say that. You'd be like, why is that beautiful girl with that big jerk? And they'd say, pretty girls like to be treated like crap by their boyfriends. And I'd like, well, I can do that, but I never could. But it's just the stupid logic of the world is so dumb. You know, it's just dumb. And yet we think we are so smart, you know, because we get sophisticated, like in, I think it's Timothy, where it says, having a form of godliness, but of course denying the power thereof. In other words, you know, there's no power to anything we do. I love people when they're like, well, I like to think of God as energy that flows all around us and through us, and we're all interconnected, and we're all God. And it's like, well, if that's the case, why is there right and wrong? And who in the world would want to hang their hat on that? We're all blended together in a soup of, you know, divinity. It's like, yuck. It doesn't even make sense. We're not made that way. That's not the way society works. That's not the way people work. That's not the way we think. You know, God, it says God authorizes the hierarchies of our society. That's why when someone has the authority from God, they have authority. It's just like if a police officer, he's been given authority. You may not like it, but if you fight against it, you're going to have a bad day. It's the same with the hierarchy God put into our families. The father's at the top, the wife, the kids. Like it or, you know, hate it. It's just the way it is. And when the family functions that way, guess what? Things go real smooth and kids benefit. When things don't function that way and the wrong people become in charge and they are contesting, you know, there's ways that kids and wives and, you know, they can contest and constantly pick away all the time and just know how to chip, chip, chip with questions or find weaknesses in the father. Maybe he's not the most, you know, the quickest thinker, or maybe he doesn't know something about this or that and just constantly expose the weakness. You know, that's where we're supposed to look at our heart condition. Are we doing everything for the Lord? For the best. But anyway, First Thess goes on and says, in everything give thanks, like I said, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Wow. And then it goes to what I just said. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Then it says, do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Some people speak prophetically. I've seen it. I've experienced it. It's not really something that occurs at our church, but I've been around it. I believe it. I believe the Holy Spirit speaks for every one of us. I believe a friend can ask a friend who's a believer advice, and the Holy Spirit can literally pour through them as a conduit. I believe that we get the most amount of our spiritual learning through others. By listening to others speak, God speaks through them. Obviously, the word is great, but God can speak through us. He made a system by which the word of God, by which the story of Jesus, which has traveled 2,000 years, has to go man to man. I mean, what an amazing system. Why? I don't know why. I mean, I can think of reasons, because it's the way he made us, and, you know, it makes it true free will. Maybe it's magnificent. Maybe the devil can't stop it, destroy it, and stamp it out. I don't know. But there's a reason. But apparently we're not supposed to despise prophetic utterances, which in Greek, I got to look this up, is pretty simple. Prophesia, it means prophecy. It's prophesia, and it means a discourse emanating from divine inspiration and declaring the purposes of God, whether by reproving or admonishing the wicked or comforting the afflicted or revealing things hidden, especially by foretelling future events. Wow. So that gift exists in the body. Some have it, some don't. I have a feeling it may tie back to exactly what I was talking about a bit ago. How connected with the Holy Spirit are you? I spent years and years, people are like, you got to live by the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, how do you do that? I'm a sinner. I'm a failure. I keep screwing up. And you know what it was? It was desire. Absolutely desire. Just the desire. And then I actually had someone prophesy over me that God thanked me for my heart right at the time that I discovered it was the heart, and it was a good thing. And I'm actually completely not charismatic at all, but I believe in God. And I just, where I have a problem is when people demand, you know, baptism by the Spirit, and you demand that you speak in tongues, and you demand that you do this. And I don't see that. I just don't think that's the case. I think that it will manifest itself in different ways. I think that we need to get in touch with the Holy Spirit. But when people are forcing it and saying, you must do this to be a believer, you can have all these gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't, you're not walking with God. I just don't think God works like that. I don't think God's in a box. Okay. So do not quench the Spirit, this says. The word quench is a terrible word to pronounce. It's spenumi, with B's and N's, and it means extinguish, put out, suppress, stifle, or ignore. Simple enough. Don't ignore, stifle, you know, the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit work within you. Listen for it. Listen to it. You're going to find more and more opportunities to share. You're going to find other opportunities to shut your mouth. That's the other thing. You know, you watch people in certain situations, and believe me, I've been in them, where, you know, someone's in a painful situation or a situation in need, and you can see, okay, this is an opportunity that the Holy Spirit wants us to minister. And then I've been in situations where people are literally in deep pain. I was in one in particular where somebody had a terrible thing happen in their life, and this other guy was with me, and he's going, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? And I'm like, dude, right now we need to just minister to this guy's pain. He's going through a serious, serious event, very serious. That's not the time. That's the time to just show the compassion of Christ. You know, Christ would reach out and help people. He would engage. He would be involved. He would minister to them. And then when the window opened up, he'd say, believe in me. He didn't just walk in and go, well, I'm doing this so you will believe in me. I'm actually ministering to you right now so that you will see who I am and so that you will realize that you need to turn your life over to me. And that's the same with lifestyle evangelism. We live for Christ all the time. We want to be the best neighbors around. You know, we want to be there. You know, we protect our neighbors. I've been in plenty of situations, even recently, where there's a situation with a neighbor that came up that is absolutely out of control as far as something that's being built that is so far outside of code. And it's just unbelievable. Eyesore. You know, it's a nightmare, and I'm a neighbor. I got to be a good neighbor. I got to support it. I got to do the right thing. You know, otherwise you end up with the Hatfields and the McCoys. Can't do that. You got to be a good neighbor because you serve Christ. You serve God all the time. I was talking with a guy today about employment, and I was talking about, you know, what is it with Joseph and Daniel and these people in the Bible that just excelled? Well, obviously God gave them a great set of talents, but these men respected their employers. They respected them. They didn't throw temper tantrums and cuss and scream when they thought they were offended. They served the Lord. They walked the higher road. That by serving God and living for God, when it says you work as unto the Lord, what happens is you walk a higher road than your employer. You bring morale up in the office. You inspire people. They admire you. You make an example for Christ. And people look and they go, because they're living the same life. And they're going, we all work here together. Now that guy has got it right. And they look and they're like, that is neat. That I respect. That I like. That I want. That's what we need to do. You know, we need to treat everything when we work for others. Okay. If I work for you to build an investment package, your money, I treat like my money. It's as if it's mine. That's how we're supposed to be. If you work for an employer, you treat that business as if it's your own. You do things as if they're yours. Some people really struggle with that because they don't have the entrepreneurial spirit. You'll find that spirit of dissent and destruction and condemnation and a critical spirit of employee towards employer. The employer is the enemy of the employee. We get this mindset. When you think as an employee that the employer is this big, evil, bad monster, you are a life support system for a paycheck. You are seeing the employer as someone who owes you something, and you are doing them a favor by being there. No, you need to realize they're doing you a favor. Maybe you're not making enough money, but you work for God. We all have to go through a training program. I've told my testimony. I lived in poverty for years. Bad, tough. Everyone around on welfare. Ladies knocking on the door, asking us to take food stamps. Wouldn't do it. That was God's training program. That was God saying, prove to me you serve me, and I will lift you up. I will bless you. But you prove to me that you serve me. That builds a hunger. You know, there's some scripture about the fact that hunger is what drives us. And what's interesting is people will say, I'm so sick and tired of my life. I'm ready to change it. Guess what? That won't do it. If you're sick of your life and you want to change it, you're just doing something to get away. You need to have a hunger to go to become better, to serve God more. You need to have a thirst, a desire, a drive, a motivation that pushes you on. And you might say, well, gosh, I don't have that. I wish I did. Yeah, you do. If you're a believer, you've got it built right into you, because the God of the Bible wants you to be the best person that you can be. And he gave you a series of talents, and you got to look at your talents, not somebody else's, not what you got compared to somebody else. You go look in the mirror, literally, and you tell yourself you're the way God made you. And there are things about you that God made and gave you that are specifically yours. No one else has. Now, sure, the world might elevate super beautiful models and buffed out guys and athletes and rich men driving around in Rolls Royces. Great. But that's not God's economy. We can't get caught up on that. We especially can't sit around all day and watch trash TV. Television in the world has just become trash. I mean, trash, trash, trash. And you really got to watch anything you watch. I will put no worthless thing before my eyes, the Bible says. And we should not. You know, and so the worker's appetite, it says in Proverbs 16, works for him, for his hunger urges him on. Think about that. Our hunger drives us. It makes us go. It makes us better ourselves. There's different kinds of hunger, not food hunger. Hunger to be better. Hunger to have more. And this isn't a destructive desire to, you know, accumulate wealth for the wrong reasons. It's the obvious nature God gave us. And I'm not talking... I've had people say, well, that's our sin flesh. That's our sinful nature. Oh, our sinful nature is to create and to accomplish and to do more. So I actually had a gal who claimed to be a believer who told me that everything in the world was a sin. Like she thought, I said, so you're telling me that all the building and all the accomplishment and all the houses and businesses and cars and all that are sin? Yep. She had this idea, we're supposed to be living back in the dark, worse than the dark ages, not even care about any of it. Just what, wander around like a bunch of born-again zombies? Oh, then it's like a Muslim on the Sabbath. It's like, we want to ruin everything good. We don't want to improve at all. And I caught you working over there. You were building a thatch hut. Now, that's trying to improve yourself too much. No, God gave us a wonderful brain and a wonderful, you know, he just gave us a great opportunity. So there's so much to be thankful for. I'll tell you one last thing, and then we'll go on and talk a little bit about the news. Something really dumb when I was young, and I, as most of you know, my parents at one time dropped me off at a runaway home on, when I was about eighth grade, and I got to live in group homes and become a ward of the state and a whole bunch of fun stuff. And there was one counselor lady that, you know, was helping me at one time through some stuff, and I was all ticked off and miserable. And she said, well, you got to be thankful. I said, I don't have anything to be thankful for. She goes, yeah, you do. I said, no, I don't. She said, I want you to do this. She drags me over into this table, sits me down, gives me a piece of paper and a pencil. She goes, don't come out of here until you've written down, I think she said, 50 or 100 things you're thankful for. I said, I can't do that. She said, yeah, you can. Well, I sat there, and it starts out with, I start being a little bit sarcastic. Well, I'm thankful for the sun, thankful for the sky, thankful for my clothes, thankful for my food. Pretty soon I'm a kid. I'm thankful for Ms. Pac-Man or whatever, you know. I'm thankful for basketball, you know. And you start going, and all of a sudden at about 50, the sun's shining in my life. There's something that happens when you focus on gratitude. There's so much to be thankful for, which also tells us, folks, when people get eternally separated from God and condemned, it's going to be literal hell. I mean, hell forever. I don't get it. But God says everything's been made for his purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. A family friend just died in their 80s, and my mom and I were sick. We prayed. She tried to go up and share. He was too sick to be really spoken to. Then the family blocked us out. All indication is he rejected God, and we prayed and prayed, and God told me this is a lifetime that we're dealing with. It's honorable that you wanted to save him at the end, but he made 84 years of choices that kept him out of my kingdom. When we chase our flesh, folks, and deny God, it's blaspheming the Spirit. That is the unforgivable sin. And as a believer, you have the Holy Spirit, and God does miracles, amazing things. I've had some phenomenally ridiculous things happen that you wouldn't even believe that God's done in my life. And so just draw near, listen to the Spirit. That Spirit dwells within you. Ask God to hear it and to listen and to be good and to put yourself last, not first. You don't have to, if someone's mean to you, you don't have to lash back. You can be kind. You know, the judgment I've described, I had a vision one time of judgment, and I was kind of floated up this lit escalator tube, it wasn't a tube, it was a huge thing. And I got to this room, and I was surrounded by white, bright light, and then judgment hit. And the way judgment was everything I'd ever done in my life flashed before my eyes, with some really distinct issues. Number one, I could not recall any of the circumstances surrounding them. So I couldn't make an excuse of what someone had done to me to cause me to do that. I couldn't pass the blame at all. It was all me, my behavior, my judgment. Christ, at that point, redeemed me. And it was a wild vision. It was a cool thing. It came at night. But that's the way God sees each one of us. When people say, you make me mad. No, that's not true. You choose to be mad. You may have a right to be mad. It may be sensible to be mad, but you still choose to be mad. Every response you make to somebody is a choice. Every emotion you choose to have is a choice. Now, within reason. I mean, our emotions are built into us for a reason to experience life. But we can become addicted to emotion. You can become addicted to negative emotion. You can become addicted to anger. It's a rushing power. You can become addicted to being a victim. And that's a very common problem in our society. if everything that you if everything that occurs in your life, if you literally say, why is this happening to me? You're probably a victim mindset. If you say, man, what could I have done different? What did I do? Where did I go wrong? How could I have taken a different turn? Darn it. I got to get smarter. Then you're not a victim. You are seeking God's wisdom. If you take responsibility for everything that happens in your life and more, you're not a victim. But if you think everybody else is responsible for your behavior, for your joy, you have a victim's mentality. As long as you think like a victim, you are being controlled by somebody else. You have no control of your life. You think you do. You might control atmospheres through emotional outbursts or whatever, but you're not in control of your life. So when you are judged for your accountability for your life, God will say you wasted your life feeling sorry for yourself. You'd be thinking, no, I didn't. Yeah, you did. You weren't utilizing your life to capitalize on it and make the most of it. So I don't know. I think it's becoming super problematic. I had a person I was helping a while ago that was working for us in a certain capacity, and she had a checkered past and had gone to prison for problems. And she was out and she was walking with the Lord pretty well, and then she slowly slipped away. But when she was getting out of prison, she went to some halfway house where they were not allowed to date, and she ended up hooking up, marrying with some guy that was like a thug. Her parents were sick. It was a terrible choice, but it was a way, I think, for her to bring crisis into her life so she didn't have to take responsibility for her child that her parents had taken over. And this guy didn't care about her much. And so basically what happened was the guy had his issues with anger and everything, and he lost his job. When he lost his job and she was working, she was given the option of going from like $260 a month to $400 a month to keep Cobra health insurance till he got another job. She asked me, what should I do? I said, you should pay for the extra insurance. She goes, it's too expensive. I said, you got to pay for it. You got to keep it. Well, about 3 months later, she didn't pay it. 3 months later, he ODs on some, I guess it's called Kratom. It's some over-the-counter drug from Thailand, or I don't even know. I guess you get it at smoke shops or something. I don't know anything about it. So he ends up in the hospital, racks up $75,000 in bills. Now, she's gone bankrupt before, and I know this whole resume is not top-notch. I'm just telling you. And she comes to me and says, and by the way, in the same time, she put $1,200 into a tattoo. And she says to me, now that she's been bankrupt in the past, she can't go bankrupt again. And trust me, I would never recommend anyone go bankrupt. She's gone bankrupt in the past. She's got $75,000 in new medical bills. And she got a $1,200 tattoo and didn't buy health insurance. She says to me, why is God doing this to me? I just don't understand. I'm like, well, maybe because you didn't spend the money on the health insurance that you were supposed to keep. Instead, you chose to get a tattoo of a friend who died from meth on your shoulder. I mean, I know when you're listening, you're like, this isn't the best story I've ever heard. It's not real meaningful, but it's the point of making terrible decisions and then saying, why is God doing this to me? It's like getting drunk and driving and getting a DUI and saying, why is God doing this to me? You make decisions. And by the way, be careful on that. A friend of mine, an acquaintance, had gone out one night to celebrate with friends. I think it was a big birthday party or something, and he had too much to drink. And he was with his wife, and he called his daughter to pick him up. His car was at the place, and he called his daughter to pick him up. His daughter was parallel parked in the street waiting for him, engine running. He said, oh, crud, I got to grab my wallet. He ran to his car, opened the door to get his wallet out. A female officer flips on her lights. She's sitting there waiting to entrap somebody. Flips on her lights and then arrests him for DUI. He says, look, my daughter's there. I'm not driving. Never intended to. No. Their attitude is you have the keys. You are in control of the vehicle. And folks, in my attitude, my opinion is the evidence surrounding that situation was that he had no intent of driving. They have this thing where if you have had too much to drink and you sleep in your car or in the back seat and you have the keys in the car, you are DUI, in control of the vehicle. So be aware of that. I'm not saying you should go out and drink too much, but I'm pragmatic. It happens. To some people sometimes, and there's people that drink more than others, and that's all their choice in the Lord. But just be wise. They take these laws too far. The DUI laws are huge money makers. They want to lower the blood alcohol level to 0.05 now, which I guess means that if you smell a beer from across the room, you're legally intoxicated and can't go near a vehicle. That's a joke, but it's just things, we take things too far in society, don't we? I mean, we're the land of the free and the home of the brave. Right. Okay. So, I don't know how free we are anymore, and I don't know how brave we are anymore. The new generation coming up, maybe not so brave, right? So let's see. I had some news here. Let's talk news. I don't normally do this, but there's so many weird things going on. Okay, what do we got? We got North Korea. Wacky nut job. Threatening to go to war and threatening to bomb us and nuke us. And of course, we've got Donald Trump, Mr. I'm ready to go. Bring it on. I will crush you. And everybody's like, yeah, you better do it. They're telling us North Korea's crazy. Folks, North Korea would not go to war with us. They will not. I'm sorry, but this guy's a cuckoo nut job, and he knows how to manipulate. I've listened to two respected North Korean experts. Everything they do is for regime preservation, and they are manipulators. They want to get. So what's the best way to enrich in your country? Go to war with the U.S. and then surrender, right? And then we go, money, 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 money. If your country's bankrupt, declare war on the U.S., let them come in and occupy you, and then they will give you money, 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 money. I don't know what King Jung whatever is up to, but I do know that I suspect he's not that dumb. And I think we're chasing our tail. I think it's kind of interesting. Trump has been painted as a lunatic around the globe. He's not. But the media is specializing in absolutely character assassinating this guy. He can't do anything right. They absolutely destroy him. It's sick and it's sad. And I promise you, what you think of Trump, if you watch or listen to the media, is not what Trump is. He's an 70-year-old man with a great track record of success. Everybody around him likes him. They love him. They consider him a gentleman. He's a wonderment with the way he treats the females around him. He's never drank or taken drugs. He's a good, clear-minded man. He does not have a strong grasp of the... Well, we'll just say he doesn't have a highly diplomatic grasp of the English language. He's not that smooth, but he's candid. You know, that's like better, isn't it? To kind of know exactly where your leader stands. So we got that. We've got crazy lefties, just livid, you know, wanting to impeach Trump and just folks, they're going over the top on this stuff. I mean, I don't know if you watch like Maxine Waters and MSNBC. I mean, obviously you better not. But I mean, if you run into these quotes from these people and things they're saying, it's craziness. We're at an all-time low. Sean Hannity the other night came out, and there's a gal who's been lobbing false accusations at him from, you know, from a radio show forever. And they kept getting worse and worse until finally she made false accusations that he tried to take her to his room and was criticizing her pant size, all this garbage. And he said, that's it, I'm done. He popped. And he said, I'm not taking it anymore. That it's over. I'm done. And he's got the best attorneys to start a lawsuit against her. Of course, she recanted what she said, but it's too late. She's in trouble. And she should be, because the left has gone too far. The lies are spewing. We've never been in this situation. They're taking down methodically the conservatives. I mean, Bill O'Reilly, the most watched news anchor in the world history, is gone from Fox now because the left pushed on this supposed sexual harassment, because he said he called one woman your blondness. I'm sorry, your blondness. He called another woman hot chocolate, who was black. And earlier that Andrea Tantaro, who was on Fox News, a younger, kind of a darker haired gal, claimed that he said, boy, I'd like to see you outside of here, or I bet you get wild on the weekends, or something like that. And that was it. And they're calling this sexual harassment. And Fox is starting to write checks to these people to the tune of millions of dollars. We've lost our minds. We cannot continue this insanity. We've got all this false, you know, climate change, folks, what a bunch of idiocy. And the conservatives find themselves arguing climate change, arguing against it. That's just dumb. Of course, the climate changes. That's not how this started. This started with Al Gore's global warming that's going to, you know, have the waters over the city of San Francisco by 2015, and we're all going to drown and die, and inconvenient truths, and everybody freaked out. And he was the first green billionaire. And everybody's running mad and wild. Climate change. Some say that our temperatures have increased 0.75 degrees in the last 100 years. I don't believe it, and nor do I care. We know that 6,000 years ago, we had a ice age that reached all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico with glaciers. Folks, there's climate warming. There's climate change. We've only been on the Earth, what, some of you, 40, 50 years? Really? Look at the size and the breadth of the Earth. I mean, it's beyond comprehension. You can't even comprehend it. When you start to do readings, temperature and CO2 emission readings, when you get up 10,000 feet above sea level over the ocean, there's no recognition. There's no sign of anything. It's a scam and it's a hoax to control what you emit, which is carbon dioxide. It's to eventually tax you for being a human being. It's so out of control. Trump just came out with his tax plan. Of course, they're attacking that. It looks good to me. It's, if it goes, I mean, the left is just, they're just opposed to him every step of the way. I hope they're digging their grave. I really do. And the right is poorly united. The right seems to be best united when they're in the minority and the majority of Dems are in the lead. But that's bad. You know, conservatism needs to be resurrected. And people have adopted so many socialistic mindset plans because they have all these special interest groups, or they're rhinos or what, I don't know. His tax plan looks very good because it considerably drops the corporate tax down to 15%. Now, you might think, you might not understand, corporate taxes now are about 40%. That is so huge, folks. I'm an S corporation, and you just can't even imagine what it's like when you make you work your tail off, you've got to pay all your overhead and your vendors, and you've got to pay, you know, advertising and lights and whatever, and your employees are your biggest expense, and you get done doing all that, and then the government basically comes in and says, oh, you know that stuff you've got left over they used to call profit? We're taking half of that. So they take half, and then you go pay your property taxes on your building and your house, and you know, and then you got to go out and you don't even realize that you pay tax on everything you buy in the grocery store, and you got to pay tax on your milk, and you got to pay tax on your gas, and you got to pay tax on your car, and you got sales tax on everything. Folks, they literally, the velocity of money back to the government in this country is faster than anywhere in the world. Now, some people say, oh, no, Switzerland has higher taxes. It doesn't make sense, though, because Switzerland gives everybody a stipend to equal out to redistribute wealth. The difference is they actually do redistribute it. I'm not saying it's good, but what I'm saying is they don't take everybody's money and then just hand it out to lazy people that refuse to work. They give it to everyone equally. They give housing grants and housing stipends, and medical is free. And so they tax heavily, but they run things like a business. I'm not condoning socialism at all, but I'm telling you, if you remove the credits that they get from the taxes they pay, their tax rate's nowhere near as high as ours. With us, you don't even see the benefit. We can't even get our roads straight, you know. Then we get the judge who blocks Donald Trump's order on sanctuary cities, of all things. One of the primary responsibilities of the president is to protect the borders. You've got this activist, literally, activist, left-wing Democratic judge blocking Trump's order. These people, they don't care if it's constitutional. They don't care. They bring these before left-wing activist nut job judges who are legislating from the bench. And this is the problem. Obama has fundamentally transformed America. He changed everybody's thought process. We are now a democracy of liberalism, and everything should be, in their minds, based on your feelings and your opinion. Wrong. But this is what we've become. We're no longer a republic, folks. We are a democracy. And to you, that might sound good. Democracies self-destruct every time. For some reason, it's always the People's Republic of this or the People's Republic of that. Democracies are always associated with dictatorships and socialist regimes because people are sheeple and people are dumb. And so what happens is you put them in a situation where things are really, really bad, and they get desperate and they elect somebody who's really, really bad. Adolf Hitler is a prime example. And people try to compare Trump to Hitler. That's how screwed up they are. It's just sad, folks. I'm sorry I dwell, but I'm sick. So we've got, you know, the Democrats, you know, on the attack. This Obamacare repeal. I like this one. You're going to like this one. The United Nations said, threatened, that a repeal of Obamacare would violate global laws. So Trump is not supposed to repeal it, or he violates global laws, United Nations global laws. We've lost it, right? I mean, let's admit it. And the problem is the left cares. It's the UN warned Trump that Obamacare repeal could violate international law. Unbelievable. We've got Jung Kim Il's fake army. you know, I was talking about the war. I'm reading here. They're saying that the military parade was filled with phony hardware. They learned that from Russia during the Cold War. They display false weaponry. And they do that to try to intimidate. And their people buy it, but it's fake. Our experts say it's fake. So, I don't know. I'm not so concerned. We got Russia riled up, China. And folks, the China deception, you know, we do a lot with China, but we're not as big a part of their GDP as we used to be. But we, you know, we do need to stand on our own 2 feet. How long it's going to take to get through this, I don't know. But with the next election, you've got this core group of people so mad they want Trump out of there. So they're going to start voting lefties back into office. We need to get some true change. You know, the magic word, the Obama word, change. We've got to get transformation. We've got to get progress going in this government. I think the government's too big. I think politics is too dirty, and I think we're at a permanent loggerhead. I think people want things to change, but the system is so corrupt. You get Trump, they elect Trump, they say, do what you're going to do, and then the left stands in the way. They try to vilify him. Folks, pray that they continue to dig their own grave. Pray that the average voter looks at this stuff and says, hey, this is wrong. We don't want an obstructionist government. As I've said recently, hang in there financially. Preserve and protect yourself wisely. One thing that doesn't seem to ever come up anymore is the financial condition of the United States, because our new president doesn't necessarily express a concern about our debt. I've talked multiple times about the level of the debt, $1.7 million per family. Unbelievable. I'm telling you, simply enough, as I've said over and over, something's got to give. Something's got to change. This is not as it always has been. This is something that's got to be dealt with. It's going to come to a head. It's got to. You can simply protect yourself by grabbing, buying, securing hard assets, precious metals-based assets. We've got balanced portfolios we do that are wonderful. Everything you can imagine that's going to perform over the long haul. We've been around. We've done it. People always think of Armageddon. That's a separate issue. I'm talking about every day. What's going to happen to America? Are we in? Are we out on the end times? We really don't know. I've got my own theories. I'll cover that a different day. But I'm telling you, you have an obligation to be a good steward. It's very simple to do. We can help you secure and preserve and protect your wealth in a conservative manner that will serve you very, very well. We're coming into a good season of metals growth, of market growth. Prices are unbelievable on numismatic and semi-numismatic coins, just as they are in diamonds. Hard assets, folks, are cheap right now. They just are, because people don't get it. They're jumping into the paper markets. They don't make money. They're being deceived. No one makes money on stocks anymore, except the White Wall Street tycoons. You can put your money in it, but if you have, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah, after the 09 dump, you had a little, you know, one-year climb. You didn't get back to where you were, but you made a little bit of money, but nothing near what you lost. Don't do that anymore. Do what God says. God created a certain form of true wealth. It works. It's timeless. We're not smarter than God. We're not smarter than man of the past when it comes to monetary things. Everything that God made that lasts, you know, gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, and precious stones that are always attributed as true wealth, they're always there. They never go away. They are true wealth. I don't care what happens in the world in the past, present, or future until Christ comes back. The Bible's crystal clear that that is what money is. You can load up on paper, but it has every country throughout history, it's gone sideways every time. We have pushed the limits past anything that anybody's ever done. Yes, it's the greatest country in the history of the world. Yes, God's blessed it. But when does that blessing go? When more and more people are turning their back on God and blaspheming Him? When does it go? We don't know, but we know how to preserve and protect. And we know that if we do what God says financially, if you allow us to help you, you're doing the right thing no matter what's going on. You don't have to wait for bad times. People want to invest for the worst times. Don't do that. Invest something for the good times, bad times, and in between times that's going to preserve and protect and grow in a solid, wise way. We do this. Folks, I'm telling you, our people do very, very well. Have they lost money when the markets have come down? Sure. But at the same time, nothing near like stocks. And in a lot of cases, when we do like nice groups of circulated silver dollars and stuff, they don't even respond to the drops very much. If the market dropped 30%, sometimes they'll go down 5. Sometimes they'll go up 5. We put you into things that respond to positive market moves, and they really don't respond to negative. That may sound too good to be true. It's true. Because as time goes on, there are no more of these items. And you sell old U.S. silver coins, they can't make more of those. There's been many big meltdowns, great opportunities, but balance is such a key. Folks, I've done it for friends and family and relatives, and they do so well. It's amazing. So just call Coins Plus 444-0044, toll free 877-TAP-COIN, or through our website at coinsplus.com. Let us help you. We will take care of you. You don't have to have a ton of money. It can be $2,000, $1,000, $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, whatever you got, $100,000. We just did $400,000 the other day. I mean, it doesn't matter. We will take such good care of you. It's so important to us. Like I was talking about working as unto the Lord, that's how we see it. And we, folks, I assure you that we chisel and chisel and chisel to make sure that you are getting stuff at the best wholesale prices nationally. That is so important to us. Don't call these other companies that have commission salespeople, because I promise it will be the worst financial mistake you've ever made. So just, thanks again for tuning in. I so appreciate it. Take care. God bless. Give us a call and let us help you out. Have a great evening. I will be back on Friday. Bye-bye.